It's a fried rice Christmas. Ho, ho, ho.
Oh, I'm your fattest man here, and welcome to 8 Crazy Nights of Christmas with Fried Rice Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Rice, and with me as always, it's Brennan. Jingle bells, Brennan, all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ship in a Lee up to Boston.
It's definitely fun to watch those develop.
They're not good. With me, as always, it's Michael, my oldest, tiniest little elf, Larson.
Hey, Merry Christmas, everybody.
And, or I should call you number seven or number whatever. And we are talking about, it's the amazing. I don't think anybody's got an issue with this movie, Fat Man. Like, holy shit, what a good movie.
Honestly, the only issue I have with Fat Man, this is weird. I have one issue with it, and it's that the movie we watched last week, or 2 weeks ago. Violent Night's a better movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, other than that.
Yeah, I watched
this
Batman.
Had this been, when I saw this first. And I thought it was the best Christmas movie I ever saw. And then I saw Violent Night.
Yeah.
Which is a better version of the same thing,
It's basically, which actor do you prefer better as an old, disgruntled kind of, Santa? Do you prefer Mel Gibson, or do you prefer David Harbour? Which I think they both kind of have their own.
Oh, they both nail it. There's no doubt. They both nail it. It's just
like a different.
The other movie has just a much better lore to it.
It's got more of a magic to it kind of type.
Yeah, okay. Well, all right. So here's where I'll disagree just a bit. In Violent Night, everything is over the top. The acting, the action, everything.
Yeah.
So you get a lot of comedic things that... So for instance, at one point towards the end of Violent Night, you have the wife pick up a machine gun and just kind of fire off a few shots at some highly trained soldiers, and they fire back and miss.
Yeah.
You don't get that with Fat Man.
Fat
Man is realistic and grounded, which I actually prefer. So I love Violent Night. Yeah. I want to see a sequel where we get more backstory or a prequel or something. Like, I want more Violent Night.
I want Viking Santa. Viking Santa so bad.
That's the thing. I want more Violent Night more than I would want another Fat Man.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Because Fat Man has a sweet little ending. It has and you don't need to know the complicated history.
Yeah.
But what I like about Fat Man is that the B plot of Santa is, does he make a deal with the government to contract missile guidance systems for F-16s?
Everything's so grounded. Yeah.
It's not the other guy where it's just like, oh, there's not enough Christmas magic. I can't, there's not enough belief for me to murder all these fucking people. This is Santa going, oh God, we're not going to be able to afford Christmas this year, and which I kind of love.
Feels more real. Yeah.
The opening music is great. Realistic Santa, the most realistic. It's you don't know how old he is. He's been alive for centuries, probably. I like that his wife is understanding, but she's also she's tough on him.
Yeah.
Like, they have a real relationship, and she even says towards the end, she's just like. We have our ups, we have our downs, we have our tips or whatever, but
I love how it's never addressed that she's black either. I love that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And
they
it's never addressed, and I love it.
Also, at the same time as I'm watching it, I'm like, that's a really great choice and everything, but then how much of that is a little bit of PR for Mel Gibson? It's
Mel Gibson
after his drunk rant that he did, that really homophobic and racist rant that he did. Everything he's done since then, I don't know if it's been it sucks because Mel Gibson might be my favorite actor of all time because of when I think about some of my favorite movies, I think about, Braveheart.
Braveheart.
I think Braveheart. I think Maverick. I think
Patriot,
but then he might be one of my favorites. After his rant, he went off silent for a while, but then he did The Beaver, which is actually pretty good. Do you ever watch that one?
No, I've never even heard of
it. It's a weird one, dude. He's a CEO of a major business, major corporation, and then I forget exactly what the catalyst is, but he has a fucking huge mental breakdown where he's just puts himself in his house and like the company's going to ruins or whatever. And like people are like, no, you need to. So he goes to therapy. They're like, you need to go to therapy. You need to fix this. And the therapist, like, he won't speak. Like, Mel, he just stops talking to everybody. He like won't say anything. And he's just quiet. And everyone's like, doesn't know what the fuck is wrong with him. So they give him a puppet, like a beaver puppet. And he puts the beaver puppet on. And he starts, the beaver starts speaking in a in an English accent. It's Mel Gibson's voice, but starts talking. And it's him, obviously, but like, he's like, no, it's like, no, fuck you, therapist. My guy doesn't need your help or whatever. Like I've got his back now. Like, puts his little hand on his shoulder, whatever. And then they leave. And so Mel Gibson starts going to the business and starts operating things with the beaver as his puppet hand. So the beaver is the one that runs it all. It sounds silly. I know it sounds silly, but it's actually a sad movie. Huh. Like it's played for laughs.
Did you watch it with Randy?
I should. What do you think of that, Randy?
The movie there's some great Mel Gibson movies though that he doesn't get a lot of credit for. There's some what's the one where his kid got kidnapped?
Oh, Ransom.
Ransom. Great movie.
Yeah.
I mean, there's Mel Gibson.
So good. Yeah. Lethal Weapon. We even talked about the Lethal Weapons. Yeah, Mel Gibson's
Mad
great.
Max.
Oh, the ones he directed, Apocalyptico, is super good. I'm not a big Passion of the Christ fan. I did watch it when it came out, and I remember leaving the theater going like, well, that was a really well-done movie.
Yeah.
If you want to watch a snuff film about Jesus, go for it. But it's well done.
Right.
But then afterwards, reading all the like, oh, yeah, he really does make the Jews look bad in that movie. Like, and so I guess technically in the history of the world, the Jewish people did put Jesus to death, but that isn't, they're not all, it's not like the religion was the bad guy. It was a politically motivated slash law slash there's all this stuff that led to him getting crucified that like, it wasn't just a cabal of evil Jews being like, let's get rid of Jesus. You know, like, so that was just whatever. But great motivation for the villain. The Walter guy, I put quotes around his villain because, like, yes, he's a bad guy in which he does murder people and he has no qualms as to kidnapping a little girl, you know, and threatening her. Now, he doesn't kill the little girl, so as far as I'm concerned, he doesn't cross that line where I can't root for a villain. You know, like I know that you'll say that I'm pro kids getting killed in movies, but that's only if the movie sets it up for them to get killed. I'm not rooting for them to get killed.
Yeah, not at Christmas.
I don't root for
children.
We understand.
Not at Christmas. We get it.
I don't root for children to die. It's just you can't show me a room, like a little kid in a room with a werewolf and then have that kid survive. You know what I mean?
You
like,
ever notice how much Andy digs holes for himself and then spends all his time getting out of them and blaming us for the hole he dug?
It's great.
My whole life is just digging and getting out of holes. And it's like I'm a dog. Just like, dig a hole, I get out of a hole. I dig a hole, I get out of a hole. So the Santa bar scene is pretty great. That's where he convinces that, or he tells that guy, like, hey, your wife, your kids, if you leave right now, it's a 12-hour straight shot back home. Like, you'll get to them by Christmas time. The guy's like, well, I wasn't going to do nothing. It's like, okay, you get the fuck out. I'll pay for your beer. And then she's like, how is it that every time you come in here, the guy that I'm going to go home with leaves? Because he respects her, and he, like, looks out for her.
Yeah.
The whole him knowing who you are when he meets you,
it's
is
all creepy,
unsettling.
Yeah.
But awesome.
I think that's, I don't know which one I like better, that or the David Harbour scroll thing. Like, I kind of like that scroll because that I feel like that was more realistic than him just instantly knowing who you are by looking at you. Using the scroll, the magical scroll, to kind of, see your stats, essentially.
Right.
But see, that's the thing. With
magic, the other movie has way more magic.
It has more magic. This one has more subtle magic.
Subtle, hidden.
So, like, I like this. Like, when he pulls the board out from underneath his sleigh, it's just a piece of fucking plywood. It's nothing. He built this sleigh with wood. It is a wood-built sleigh. When he needs his sack mended, it's his wife.
Yeah.
Mending it.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, like, I still, I'm sure it has the magic. You know what I mean? Sure. Like, it has magic. Like, he can pull a million gifts out of it or whatever. But we don't need to see it. I even like that the elves. Elves are probably one of the best parts of this. Especially Seven, dude.
Yeah.
Dude, Seven What a brave little fucking dude. When they were all shooting and he stayed behind just to talk to Santa, I was like, fuck yeah, Seven. What happened to 1 through 6? We've been at this a long time. Yeah. And not everybody
makes it.
Not everybody makes it. Yeah. I like that they survive off of sweets. Yeah. That was really cool. Let's see. I like how the government works with Santa. Like, he gets a stimulus check, which is pretty cool. Yeah. and then this kid. Okay. I do like the kid. I like the main little bad kid. He's funny. He's like a little mobster guy, which is funny. I like him. And then what was this bitch thinking that she should win? I like that. Why does this bitch think she should win? His project was better.
Yeah.
Maybe. We didn't really see hers, but his was fucking good. I'll be right back. Keep talking.
Okay. What? we don't go through it piece by piece, so it's tough with the movie is.
Unpause. Okay, sorry, everybody. They let me down there.
Andy likes to throw us just right into it. Like, all right, go.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Right now.
To pick up where I left off.
Santa makes some great points about how commercialized Christmas is. He does go, this is just a fucking, the government pays us because we help them sell Nintendos and shit. Like, you know what I mean? And again, this, a lot of the movies that we've been watching lately have been really focusing on how commercial Christmas is.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, Jingle All the Way, which we're going to watch this for tomorrow's episode,
the main plot line of that one.
Yeah, it's commercialism. Yeah. It's like a boy wants a toy.
Well, I think really you go all the way back to Miracle on 34th Street. That's always been the Christmas movie thing.
Even Christmas Story, classic Christmas movie. All about that rifle.
But you know what? They do make it a little bit more magical and whimsical in those movies. Like the red rifle BB gun, there's something about it where it's not going to break the bank of the parents. Yeah. The kid doesn't want anything other than the rifle.
Yeah.
It's like he doesn't have a list of 1,000 video games he wants or whatever. So there's something more wholesome about just a kid wanting one thing that's just a little too dangerous for him at the age.
Yeah.
Whereas in Jingle All the Way, similar, the kid kind of just wants one doll or one action figure of an action figure, a guy that he likes. But it's the most sought out. It's the Tickle Me Elmo of the time.
Right.
I'm pretty sure it was made right after the Tickle Me Elmo thing, and that's probably what inspired someone to write the movie. Why don't we do another where it's just parents going crazy?
I've gone through that with my kids over and over about the one thing, and then you can't find it anywhere.
Yeah.
The Nintendo Wii, the year that came out.
Or My Little Unicorn Princess Fairy from The Office.
We're not talking about when you were a child.
No. The office where Dwight buys up all the...
sells Toby one of them. He's like, oh.
The black one. Yeah. Oh, boy. That was so funny. But
I mean, the movies aren't wrong. That's kind of what Christmas has become.
It's 100% what it's become.
Yeah. I mean, if you... Okay. Some people celebrate Christmas because it's supposedly the day Jesus was born. I mean, how do people know it was December 25th, 2,000 years ago?
They've already basically proven it wasn't.
It's winter solstice. Time, so. It's basically they commercialized winter solstice.
Yeah. And so we'll do a little Jesus birthday bit. But then really what we want you to do is spend money at restaurants, spend money on presents, spend money on travel.
Capitalism.
Go travel, go to the restaurants with your family, and buy presents. That's what we need you to do right now. Travel. So, which sucks. My family and I, we've come to an agreement where it's just we don't bother with the actual day of the holiday because it doesn't fucking matter. So, I'll go up the weekend before or the weekend after Christmas,
right,
and then we'll just do our Christmas. Because it's you can literally just make up a day. Australians, their Christmas is in the middle of summer, and they barbecue and stuff.
We quit 20 years ago, me and my wife. Now, we still do Christmas for the kids, but we don't buy each other presents for Christmas. That's stupid.
Yeah.
My wife wants something. She's got the same checking account I got. Go get whatever the hell you want.
Yeah,
I buy anything that I need or want.
Yeah.
There's nothing that, the things that are outside of my realm to get myself is not something that I would expect someone to buy me.
Right.
Yeah.
It's I need a new entertainment system for my, I would like an entertainment system that isn't two desks put together.
We still do, for me and my wife, we still do little things to each other. Nothing big. Usually kind of something, if it's something big, it'll be a household item that we could both use.
Sure.
You know, I think last year I got her, it was a cooking appliance of some sort, and I was I'm excited to
use it. Right?
Yeah, yeah. So I think it was a crock pot with a sous vide and all that stuff. I still haven't used the sous vide yet. I want to, though. I just haven't had the time.
But yeah. Problem is that a lot of the times, are you really even getting something that means anything to anybody?
for my kids, yes.
Yeah, sure, for the kids. That's what I'm saying. That's what we do. Kids, it's all toys. Kids.
Like, for my mom, I feel like she always gets the raw end of the deal when it comes to gifts. Like,
I think most moms do.
The last 4 years.
I think that's a constant in every family.
The last 4 or 5 years, she's just gotten some kitchen appliance. And I know that my mom is just, she's cooking less and less. She doesn't want to be. Like, they gave her a standing mixer last year, I think. And I'm like, when the fuck has our mother ever shown interest in making cakes or like baking or whatever? Like, and then they got her a, now the one that I thought was amazing, and I should have stolen it from her. But she had like a, I think it was a hot dog. It was a hot dog toaster. So you put the hot dogs in.
Those are cool.
I don't think you'd ever.
It's one of those things. Like, I have a sandwich maker and I never use it.
It's like a panini press or whatever.
I have a T-Fowl Opti-Grill, which the only reason I know it's a T-Fowl Opti-Grill is because my buddy gave it to me, and then to audition for an infomercial that I got the part for, I used that to demonstrate all the parts of it or whatever. And so I know every bit of the T-Fowl Opti-Grill.
That's great.
But the thing is that. They never used it. They're like, we fucking never use this thing. It's brand new in the box or whatever. I've used that thing 10,000 times. Sandwich maker part, it works for quesadillas and it works for sandwiches like a fucking G.
I use mine 2 or 3 times a year, but not like you think you're gonna when you buy it. You think you're
gonna
use it.
I get what you're saying. Yes, I agree with most things. Except I've been pretty good. My air fryer, I use constantly.
Oh, that I do.
My toaster, I use constantly. My sandwich maker, I use constantly. Even my crock pot. I bought a little mini one-person crock pot, and I've used that enough times to justify the $10 I spent for it at Walmart.
Before I leave, I have to see how small that one-person crock pot is. I'm curious about that.
I'll show you. It's only
I've never heard of a one-person crock pot.
Actually, they sell them. They're not actually even sold for one. They're not sold as one-person crock pots. They're sold as like
mini dinners?
No, like for dips. Like for cheese in it or whatever, put it out. So you have 3 or 4 of them.
Like a side crock pot?
Yeah.
Okay. I would argue that you could put it fits a breast of chicken.
Well, yeah, it's a one person meal for sure. Yeah.
No, it would work for either. I'm just saying, I
could put 2 breasts of chicken next to each other if they're skinny enough, and then I could do the cracked chicken.
Okay,
I could put about enough meatballs for a meal.
Yeah.
Like when I do the meatballs that you,
right? Yeah.
It's funny you both have given me a crock pot recipe that I use quite often. I quite often make the barbecue meatballs and then I quite often make the crack chicken if I'm going to do like a mashed potato and
easy
a roll
dinners.
Or something. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's the best. That crack chicken. Look it up, everybody. You look up crack chicken.
I think it's the recipe. It's actually for like Mississippi pulled beef. But we substitute the beef for chicken, and it works great.
You got to put like a dry packet of McCormick's gravy in there, and then au jus, and then peppercinis. And then what's crazy, it just cooks. Like the juices and everything just ends up cooking. So and then the chicken is just pulled apart. And if you have some mashed potatoes and like a couple rolls on the side, you make the perfect little fucking sandwiches.
I go back and forth between mashed potatoes and just white rice. It kind of... Either carb works great for it.
Yeah. I'm not a... Yeah, I prefer mashed potatoes every time.
Andy Rice hates rice.
Hates rice.
I like fried rice, actually. I'm not even trying to be funny if I was going to eat any... Yeah. I like fried rice.
I mean, but fried rice is great.
Everyone loves fried rice.
Right. When I go to teppanyaki, anytime I go to a teppanyaki, their fried rice, it's like... Chef, I mean, so fucking good.
I had fried rice today. Panda.
That's great.
You know what? I'm not a fan though. I don't like sticky white rice, and I don't like Spanish or Mexican rice. That yellow rice.
Oh, I love Mexican rice.
It's gotta be made right though.
That's the problem. Is like I think I had too much. My mom liked making Mexican rice when she did chicken rice and beans, or chicken rice and corn or whatever the meal would be that she would make a couple times a week. It'd always be that yellow Mexican corn or whatever, and it'd be mushy. You know, like a I don't know if she was even. I'm sure she made it right, but it's just yellow with sauce, whatever, and then chicken and corn or whatever. But yeah, not a fan of that. Maybe that's what kind of threw me off the whole rice thing. And then sticky white rice on its own, I don't like. Give me a sushi roll, I don't care. It's delicious, right?
Yeah, that's true.
But like, I'm talking if I go to like a Thai restaurant and they're like, what?
rice.
Oh, dude, if I go to a Thai restaurant and I get a yellow curry and they give me that beautiful broth, the last thing I'm going to do is dump it onto some rice so that I'm eating. Good, yeah. No, because that doesn't do it for me. So if anything, I'm eating the less carb version.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's better for you for sure, yeah.
That's probably a good thing I don't like rice. If I liked rice, if that was just a go-to, I'd probably be an extra 50 pounds, you know, like just in general. I'm already a fat fuck, so. Walter Goggins, let's address it right now. This is one of his standout roles.
Yeah, amazing.
He's so fucking good at this. A man obsessed with, like, what I love is that he's an assassin. That's his job. And he never think, like, he's obsessed over the Santa thing. But never, like, he doesn't think he's going to go kill Santa. That's not part of what his agenda is. It's like, in the beginning, he's just a guy who got burned by Santa as a kid, and now he's collecting these made in Santa's workshop toys so that he can, I don't know what his goal
he's
is.
Insane, right?
He's insane, though. Yeah. And then when he gets hired by the kid, oh, yeah, it's on. Santa Claus, motherfucker. it's what he says. I'm looking for Santa Claus, motherfucker. Where is he? I just love that he kills the postman, takes the car, goes in. Hey, it's my first day. Where's the boss? Goes in there. So if you want to go with, like, that's a little unrealistic. Like, his silencer works like a silencer in a movie, not like a real life, which doesn't silence a gun. No. It just dampens the noise, but you can absolutely hear a gunshot going off. Yeah. So they keep with that trope. I want to see a movie that...
They really sound like.
Yeah, I want to see a few movies do it so that we buck the trend.
Hasn't there been at least one or two that have actually shown? Like, wasn't that the Navy SEALs movie? What was that movie called? Act of Valor. Didn't they actually have like real silencer sounds in it?
No, I don't know. I've never seen that.
You never saw that? Was a good movie and used with real Navy SEALs, like as the actors, and they were firing live rounds in the filming, not at each other, but they fired live rounds while filming.
That's pretty cool. I heard about that. I think it was right around the same time that Battleship came out, and that also used some real soldiers from the Navy.
Battleship was terrible.
Well, how else are you going to take a Mattel game?
Yeah, and make a movie.
I kind of liked how they did it, where it's like there's an alien ship that we need to bomb. We don't have any.
A boat.
Yeah. Wasn't there a scene when they actually did like have the battleship like?
Yes.
Board? No, you got to hit E5.
Yeah.
Like,
that's
what I'm saying. That's what I kind of thought that was funny. Where it's just like all the grids went down. It's like, well, how do we know where to fire? I don't know. We'll just have to blindly.
Yeah.
It's so stupid. But So other than like the silencers, this is a fairly realistic thing. So as Walter Goggins goes on his mission to kill Santa, my first thought was, who's going to feed his hamster? But thank God that gets taken care of because he takes the hamster with him. I like his apartment. Like he has a cool apartment. I don't know what the Western suit is that's on display. It's just his little, the one that he opens up and all of his guns are behind.
You know what? I was thinking about that, and I'm not 100% sure because I have to go back and watch the movie he's in on, or the series he's
Justified.
In right now. No, the series he's in right now.
Oh, the Fallout.
Fallout.
Yeah.
That suit might be the suit from the beginning of Fallout.
But that's
which
a,
is a trip. If
no,
it is.
But that's a big.
That would
no.
be like Easter egg. That'd be like him doing an Easter egg, though.
That would be him several years before
know,
the idea of the
It'd
Fallout.
Weird,
maybe it was like his own suit or something
Western
like that.
Suit? I don't know.
Well, no, because I feel like
That Western suit
that's just a
really
coincidence.
Similar,
I think it's
though.
Just a. That's a good call out. Trust me, I'm surprised my brain didn't pick up on that. But yeah, that's a good one. So when we get the government, they finally he agrees to let the government come in. There's a few things I really like about the government coming in. At first, I was like, oh no, don't, and I even put like, oh, don't take their bells off their feet. But then the Captain Jacobs. He's like awesome. He's like, hey, take pride in your work. What are you doing over there? He's like calling people out, you know, like, and then he tells Seven, hell of a way to like run a crew. Yeah. He's like impressed with the elves. Yeah. He treats them with respect. Every question he has, it's like, you guys are just eating sugar. All you do is eat sugars. Why not eat proteins and stuff? Like, he's not telling them what to do. He's just asking, like, what is it? And then elves just like, well, we eat just complex sugars and carbs or whatever, and we nap every 8 hours for 20 minutes, and that's how we run a 24/7 365 rotation. Yeah. And he's like, wow, That's a hell of a way to run a crew. That's great. But also, it's like he respects him. There's a mutual respect. I was super sad when Captain Jacobs died. That was actually like a death I did not enjoy seeing in a movie. It's not that I enjoy seeing deaths in movies, but it's like some deaths hit harder, and that was one of them. It's like I didn't care about Nameless Soldier 1 or 2 at the guard gate, but Captain Jacobs, who's proven to be a decent guy.
Decent guy, right, yeah.
Gets killed in a brutal way. That sucks. Technically, all of this happened because of the kid hiring Walter Goggins.
Yeah.
The entire fucking thing. At the end, when he gives him the threat, he goes, oh, I stopped you from killing your grandma, but you murdered so many other people just via your actions. Like, you set in place a series of events that got a lot of good people killed, including some of my elves, presumably. And like, that's like, he should have done more damage. He should have killed that kid. If that's what his thing is, I'm not saying, I didn't know that this was immediately going to go. When I was saying it out loud, I just thought
it was funny that like 2 minutes ago, you're like, I don't really like watching deaths in movies, but he should have killed that kid. He killed the fucking kid.
We'll get there. I was like, the hamster's okay. I was really following the hamster's progress on this. He looked a little lackluster, but I liked that he got him the wheel, so that made me happy. Oh, God, when he goes in to buy the wheel, though, you remind me a lot of my mother. Oh, yeah, how's that? She wasn't a good listener, never knew when to shut the fuck up. I was like, whoa.
Damn.
Fuck yeah, dude. He doesn't want a lizard. It's like, I need a hamster thing. I would be pissed if this chick's like, you don't strike me as a hamster guy. Do you want a fish? No, I mean, I've got a hamster in my car right now. I want a fucking wheel for it. And it's, you know, like, and she's like, what about a lizard? You look like a snake guy. I was like, no, fuck you, bitch. The army coming to the North Pole, North Peak, which I liked that. I even liked when he realizes, are you fucking kidding me right now? When he sees that it's North Peak, Canada, he's like, fuck, dude. Like, and he has to go out there. The addition of the army to North Peak, in my mind, I'm going like, oh, that's awesome. This is going to make it more difficult for Walter Goggins. So, like, if the whole side government thing is fun to think about in like a bureaucracy sort of way, but then, like, realistically, for the movie's purpose, it gives Walter Goggins some people to murder on the way to Santa, which I really like. I like that that's like.
See, and I went, well, wait a minute. I don't think we can invade Canada.
No, you're right. So they.
Technically, we invaded Canada.
Yeah. I bet you there's some
problems with that.
No, here's the thing, though. This is where if Santa exists in the eyes of the government, at least the U.S. government, and lives currently in Canada, then you have to assume that the Canadian government is aware of him as well. He's running his operation out of Canada soil, after all.
Right.
So there has to be, as weird as it is, a division of the government dedicated to Santa affairs that's got to, like, you would have Captain Jacobs would call Santa division in U.S. and be like, we need to set up shop in Santa's workshop and we need a way to get through there. And they would contact the Santa people over in Canada, which would then be like, okay, without revealing magic to the entire world, we will find a way to loophole you guys away to get up there. You know what I mean? Like, because the government because he gets paid by the governments, you know what I mean? That's what makes me think that
what
there
you're
would be...
saying would make sense in a vacuum, but in the real world, that would be the same as us sending troops down into Mexico. The government in Mexico knows that they have cartels. They know that that all exists, so we can't. But we still can't just send our military into Mexico to take care of the cartels.
Yeah,
but it's still illegal.
This is but that's what I'm saying. If the prime minister, he gets a piece of paper on his desk, and it's from his Secretary of Defense or whatever. It's saying, like, hey, we have to let the U.S. government just come up to North Peak. They need to just set up a few things up there. And the prime minister would have to do it because it's just political reasons or whatever, because there'd be some reason. You know what I mean? Like, or they even say to the prime minister, Santa stuff. And he's like, oh, Santa stuff, I got you. Send him. It's fine. That's what I'm saying. One plane, one big transport plane, right? And then you send the rest of the guys up and maybe civilian clothes. You really just need to get the equipment up there, and then that's all I'm saying. doesn't matter. And then trucks could do a lot of the heavy lifting, like just the big rigs. Yeah. They can make it look like it's not a not like the Army's rolling through Canada. They can disguise it at least. Maybe not the Humvees, but you know, maybe put those on a transport jumbo jet. But no, Mike, I like the attention to detail. These are the questions that keep me up at night. So thank you, I appreciate it.
On that note, I gotta.
No, yeah, no, I know. No. All right, well, everybody, say goodnight to Brennan.
What's your rating?
This one, I'd probably give it a It's a tough one to rate because I forget what I rated the David Harbour one, but. Yeah, they're both pretty much on the par for me. I'd probably give it a solid B. It's a definitely enjoyable movie. Fun watch. Silly, you know, good action, good dialogue, good characters. Yeah. Like, it's just a fun, solid movie. So I'd give it a B.
Okay.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Shipley up to Boston.
Have a good night, everybody.
Have a good night, everybody. From Brendan. All right. Okay, great. All right, man. Well, I'll see you tomorrow. Is one of these your lighter? Screw it. I've never seen that before in my life. I've never seen that lighter in my life. How about this Big Bic one? Yeah, Big Bic energy. Big Bic energy.
Big Bic energy. That's a great lighter.
Okay. Oh, you got a black one. So my Big Bic energy doesn't mean shit. Yeah, okay, black one, yeah. Okay, have a good one. All right, so I put the Santa knowing you intimately is pretty cool and scary. The driving montage is one of the best, where it's just that one shot from behind him, and it just keeps changing locations, him peeing, him eating, him doing like whatever. That was a great way to show passage of time, passage of travel. Like, right. I really liked that a lot. It was interesting. I could watch a whole music video of probably someone doing that if it was
travel. You know, yeah, that'd be kind of cool way to do it.
The only thing they eat is sweets is funny. A super sweet moment when he was looking through the files. So when his wife brings him the reason to be like, to stay Santa, and he's looking through and he sees that him bringing him a play set for cooking turned him into a chef, or a fire truck made her into a firefighter. That was very sweet, very heartwarming. It was like a really touching moment. That made me like feel for him. And then I put warm milk is fucking gross. When he goes to the bar, she's like, "You want me to warm up the milk for you?" And he's like, "Yeah."
Yeah.
I'm like,
no,
"Fuck
warm
you."
Warm milk's good.
No, warm milk is gross, dude.
Have you had warm milk?
Yeah, I don't like it. I'm a cold milk guy, like every other human being. Or I guess warm milk is, some people like it. Santa has been trying to get laid this entire fucking movie. Well, from his wife. He's trying to fuck his wife the whole movie, and she keeps shooting him down, which is kind of funny.
Very realistic.
Yeah. Goggins better not hurt any elves. And then I was like, oh, shit, he's going to blow them up as he's, like, putting fucking bombs around. I was like, I was worried about them. And then I was like, shit, this is getting brutal. Then it gets into like a real brutal shoot 'em up.
Yeah,
Goggins fucking hurting people. Like, it takes a turn to some brutality. And then I was like, Seven
more
is like.
More than you would expect, honestly.
Yeah, more than you would.
More than you
would. Because the way that they're setting it up, especially after that sweet files, like him looking through the files, you're thinking, oh, I almost forgot about Walter Goggins. Yeah. And then he just starts killing.
Yeah.
And then you get Jacobs dies. Seven is fucking Bruce Wayne in the Batman versus Superman movie in the very beginning, where there's literally people running and screaming and like dust and like all this shit, gunshots, and he walks towards the fucking danger because he's a fucking bad ass. Seven is probably my favorite character of the whole movie. So then Captain Jacobs dies, which is very sad, but then I fucking love it. Sucks, but that's what I put. Santa immediately jumps in action. So when Seven runs and hits the button, he goes, "Santa, we're being shot at." He just doesn't even. Yeah. He's just out.
No.
He's perfectly loading his gun. His wife is helping. I want this gun as well. He takes him out. He's getting dressed. He goes right.
And
I
he
love
gets
that.
In his Santa outfit, which I liked because it wasn't, you know, red
over
and
the top. Yeah,
it was like if you go back and you look at pictures of Saint Nick way back, that's what it looked like.
Yeah, he looked
so
cool.
It looked cool. Yeah,
he looked good. Captain Jacobs dying, sad. And then, did he just kill all those elves with those bombs? No, I don't think he did, because we find out later they were protected in that one little room or whatever. Yeah. But then we get the "That's enough!" and from Sam. I was like, "Fuck!"
Yeah.
And it's just him standing just in the distance, yeah. And you see Walter Goggins down at the bottom, and it's like, "All right, Fat Man, I'm here to kill you. I'm here to kill you, Fat Man." Oh God, what a standoff! What an exciting, yeah. Epic. And then
this was like almost like a Western at that point. It looked like a Western scene.
Oh,
the standoff.
Yeah, the standoff. And then, I think he says, Jonathan. Oh, yeah. And then he says his name, Jonathan Miller, you twisted child. Yeah. I love that. And he's like, "You think you're the first? You think I got this job because I'm fat and jolly?" Oh, I was like, yes, let's fucking go. And then I wrote, "I saw Johnny killing Santa Claus." And then he lives, because he did look like, yeah. He killed him. He shot him right in the fucking eye, which I was like, fuck. Yeah. I did not expect that.
That was an insane makeup job, by the way.
Yeah, it was really good. And then Ruth comes in and shoots him from a distance. And then he goes to kill Ruth. And then she does the behind-the-door trick, and mm-hmm. She says, "I'm sorry," and kills him. And she apologizes first, then blasts him with a shotgun. And that's actually sad, because I bet you she did. I bet you she's never killed. I mean, maybe we don't know the beginning.
We don't know, but...
I would like to think that the origins of Christmas isn't in from bloodshed.
Yeah.
Like Santa, his need to give gifts to the children around the world didn't start with him murdering a bunch of people. That's what we're thinking of Violent Night. That's different. Violent Night is like there was a Viking that was just full of blood and lust and bloodlust and stuff that I guess they tempered him and turned him into something useful. Whereas this guy, it looks like he, along with his wife and the help of the elves, from hard work and, like, maybe some aggression, maybe some, like, because he does say that line, "You think I got this job because I was fat and jolly?" No. Like, so maybe there was a little bit of bloodshed. I don't know. This also has some cool shit.
This doesn't show the backstory the way the other does.
Then, the little boy tries putting fentanyl in his grandma's milk, and I don't know if fentanyl was
it must have been.
As big of a word that we hear all the time.
Right.
You know, when you see those word bubbles that Google shows, like, it wouldn't be as popular now. So I guess maybe that was in the beginning of, like, people are starting to hear about fentanyl. And then...
the release date on this, 2020.
Yeah. And then the fat man's got his eye on you, kid. I like that, where he threatens the little boy at the end. The hamster lives, thank God.
Thank God, his hamster's the only thing you're worried about.
And then, so basically, the kid and Goggins saved Christmas. So, if the kid never hired Goggins to kill Santa, Santa would have never been inspired to continue doing Christmas. He looked like he was about to quit.
Was done, right? Yeah.
He was about to quit.
Yeah.
So this was the kick he needed to get going. So this kid
and Goggins is the hero.
The kid is the hero. He got to meet Santa. Free coal. he got his blue ribbon. That wasn't contested.
No.
The chick claimed that she cheated. He works out. I mean, he all works out at the end for the kid. This is absolutely one of the best Christmas movies of all time. I know that you guys, it's hard to, you look at Violent Night and it's hard to look at Fat Man with a different lens, but I can. I'm looking at it with, like, this is the more grounded in reality, like, bureaucracy forward realism.
We just sound funny saying grounded in reality, Santa Claus.
Yeah. Yeah.
As ridiculous as that might sound, it's true.
But that's what I like. Yeah. As much as I like the Santa Claus, right? As much as I like that movie, it's like once you get to the North Pole, you're really just watching it for the merriment and the Christmas spirit of it all. In this one, you're more watching like a gritty revenge Western that happens to have Santa Claus as the bad guy, according to Goggins,
What did I put up? Oh, it's like watching Goggins methodically hunt down Santa feels like a fever dream you'd have after watching Die Hard on repeat and eating too many candy canes.
That is what it's like. It's like Die Hard on candy canes. Yeah. Exactly. More like, what's a good revenge movie? Not John Wick, because John Wick
is ultra violent. Yeah,
if Goggins was John Wick in that scenario, then it's kind of like John Wick. Yeah. But Anyway, what do you give it as a rating?
B minus.
B minus.
Yeah.
Why the minus?
Honestly, I think if I'd seen this by itself, I'd have to give it a B plus. But I. Well, it's so hard when you just saw.
But you can't
Violent
take the
Night,
rating,
which is a better movie.
But yeah, but you can't let this movie. You can't say that it's a B plus, and then another movie makes this movie somehow not a B plus.
Well, because if you've seen something done better, yes, it's like a score in a game. You can't say that. Well, that team played better than the other one, so I'm going to give them more points.
No.
That's not how it works.
But it's just more. It's just more that the movie. In your opinion, was so good, but then you happen to see a different movie that involves a violent Santa.
That's better.
But actually, no, but they're so different. They're so, so, so different. We don't even see Santa pick up a gun for violence until the last 10 minutes of this movie.
Right.
Whereas
no, it doesn't,
in
no,
Violent
okay,
Night...
You
want to
know the one problem
night,
with this movie? The one problem with this movie, it's a little bit disjointed. It doesn't know if it wants to be a dark comedy or an action movie. So it kind of floats back and forth between the two, but doesn't really combine them. It goes from one to the other.
Well, no, but
and so that's where, honestly, that's why I would say B minus.
I wouldn't consider this an action movie at all. There's some violence at the end. But it's not an action movie. Violent Night is an action movie, just like Die Hard.
Right.
Violent Night is Die Hard.
Violent
the
Night
Christmas
is
movie.
An action
yeah.
movie for sure.
This isn't an action movie. If the amount of actual Think about the amount of stunt work that was required for Fat Man. Very little. There's one practical explosion, right, where the thing blows up. That's like one explosion. There's several gunshots, but the gunshots, a lot of them are just like you see those two dudes at the place get killed. All right, but that wasn't really like an action movie thing. That's more of like a an assassin thing, right? Mm-hmm. And then I'll say that the scene where he is invading their workshop all the way to getting out at the end is a pretty cool segment of action. But that's one tiny part of what I would consider overall this movie to be, which is a revenge story /
Well, I think it starts
Western.
As a dark comedy, and then it turns into an action movie. I think that's what happens. If you watch this
it's not
movie...
It's really dark comedy, though.
It has some funny moments, but
it's not like a dark comedy. Like, it has funny moments. I'll give you that. Yeah. But I think a movie can have funny moments. And there's funny moments in American Beauty, and that's a depressing, dark drama.
My point is that they're not interspersed. That's why when you see a, like to me, and give you the example of Violent Night, right, because we've been talking about it. You'll watch action scenes with comedy interspersed in the action scene.
Yeah, that's an action comedy.
It's an action comedy. Whereas this...
Well, no, I wouldn't even say it's an action comedy.
No, it's really not.
It's a rated R action movie.
With a lot of comedy in it.
But it's funny, and it's a funny action movie.
And then, but
this isn't, though.
No, this has its funny things kind of in the beginning, mostly, and then it turns into kind of an action movie, and then with its little payoff at the end of the story.
But even, like, I don't even know.
So it seems a little disjointed, formulaic, whatever you want to say. It's like it's beat for beat. It goes through its things, which it's a good movie. That's not making it a bad movie.
How's it formulaic? I didn't expect half the shit that was going to happen.
No, I'm saying it goes through its things. It's like,
what do you mean it goes through its things?
It goes through its beats. It starts
every
out.
Every movie goes through its beats, though.
Okay.
What do you mean?
I'm just saying they make it, it's obvious when you're watching this. You see, not see them coming, but you feel them. You feel the writing in the movie. I don't know how to explain it better than that.
In Fat
it's
Man?
Not, yes. In,
how
in Fat Man.
On earth can you feel what's happening? This is one of the most, you expect, when you started Fat Man, you're like, oh, can't wait for the government to get involved and the military to show up, and that Goggins is obsessed
thinking,
with Santa, and
yeah,
then he gets hired by a kid, or what?
Well, if you're not going to let me explain, I don't know why you ask me questions. I really don't sometimes
but
understand
I'm
why
just
you
asking,
ask me
you're
a question.
Saying it's going, it's the
and then
writing,
you attack whatever I say.
I'm just trying to find out exactly what you're trying to say.
Obviously, I'm just wrong, Andy.
No, just tell me what you mean. It's going through its things. It's the writing. It's what. It's the
it's
beats.
Going
what
through
do you
the
mean?
Beats. That's what I'm saying.
What
as
beats
you go through...
is it going through is what I'm trying to ask. Specifically, tell me what kind of beats. That's what I'm trying to ask. I'm trying to struggle to find out what you mean. That's
I was
all.
Very
I'm...
specific. It starts out like a full-blown... It doesn't know if it wants to be a full-blown action flick or a comedy. That's all I'm saying. That's not a bad thing.
Okay,
you're taking everything I say like it's bad.
No, but I guess my... Well,
and
so
that's not bad.
I'm questioning it because in what way does it open not knowing if it's an action or a comedy? There's no action until the very end of the movie.
No, I didn't say it opens. I said the movie doesn't know if it wants to be an action or a comedy. It opens as more of a comedy, and it ends as more of an action.
But I don't even think it opens as a comedy.
Okay.
I don't.
We
think
don't agree on that. Okay.
I think that there's some moments of levity, but like sure, if you want to say that him kidnapping the girl and having
yeah,
the boy do that.
Yeah, there's a lot of ridiculousness in it. I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's comedy.
But then how? So are you using that to lower the score of the movie then?
No, I'm saying it's the disjointedness is what lowers the score. Not that it has it,
but there,
that it doesn't flow. It doesn't have the same flow. It's a flow problem to me.
It has the same tone throughout the entire movie. And to me, the flow would be the tone. That's the flow. It's you want disjointed, you look at a movie. I can't even think. I'm trying to think of like a disjointed movie.
Act like I gave this an F. I gave it a B minus, Andy. That's the like one of the highest ratings we have.
Yeah, you also gave Slapshot a B minus.
Yeah,
and I just don't know how.
Similar in quality for the time they were made.
See, then that's okay. Then I guess we just have to disagree. I just have to. It blows my mind that this would get the same grade as like Slapshot, when Slapshot's like a.
You think it should get the same grade as Die Hard? I guess.
No, I don't even put this in the same boat as Die Hard. If you want to compare...
Die Hard's a B+. Plus.
You want to compare Violent Night to Die Hard, I could do that all day, because there's a lot of similarities.
We're talking about grades. We're not talking about comparing the movies.
Yeah, I put this on the same boat as Die Hard, 100%.
Okay, you did a B+. Plus. That's what I was asking. Okay.
Yeah, I did a B, because it still has...
Hey, I'm a B-. Minus. I'm barely below you on our scale. I mean, barely! Jesus, Andy! You're one to argue... A point that makes no sense. I don't know why you want. It's like you want to argue for no reason.
I just don't think it's disjointed. I just disagree with that. I feel like it flows so well. I feel like everything about this flows well. I feel like you see the arc of Santa being too old and too grumpy for the shit, and then finding the meaning. And finding the meaning.
Speaking
of Christmas,
Die Hard,
yeah.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, but he sort of, and then he finds that like his arc is great. I like that Goggins doesn't necessarily have an arc because he doesn't need to be. He's just the driving force. But the kid has an arc,
yeah,
which is the other.
Yeah.
So the kid being the villain has a nice arc from villain to scared straight. Santa has a great arc from sad over it to now he's back in the game. And Goggins is just the through line. And I think the humor that they set at the top persists throughout. And I feel like the tone, which is a pleasant tone, but with an underscore of more sinister stuff, because like,
yeah, I wouldn't think pleasant tone when I think of this movie.
That's what makes it pleasant, because it's the fact that they didn't kill the girl in the beginning, the fact that it's like he was just scaring her with electricity just to win a first place in a science fair.
Yeah.
That's a pleasant scenario for a mobster's son. That it could have been a lot worse. That's pretty pleasant. When you see Santa and Ruth up at the North Peak, all of that is pleasant. When you see him at the bar protecting that one woman's innocence or her. Not her chastity, but whatever. He that's pleasant. You see, like when he starts to get in a good mood and he sees the male guy and he says like, "Hey Dave" or whatever. It's hi Mike or hi Nick or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think it was consistent.
There's a lot of times I was watching this, I was just like, "What is happening? Why?"
And it's I never thought that.
Well, you do. Listen, I'll give you this. You. Take whatever world they're in whatever movie it is, not this one, just any movie, and you manage to put everything in that world into your brain is okay,
yeah.
No matter what it is.
Because that's what they're doing with the
movie. Yeah, I understand. I'd say, but not everyone can do that. And so you want everyone to be like you, and I can't do that. I'm just saying I don't have the same ability to do it. Now, whether it's a good or bad thing has nothing to do with it. It's just sometimes I can't put myself. When it gets too ridiculous, I can't put myself there.
It's interesting that you're okay with the ridiculous of Violent Night.
Because it has that premise. That's sort of what I mean by disjointed, though. That's kind of what I'm saying. If a movie starts out, I'm ridiculous, I know I'm ridiculous, I'm going to stay ridiculous,
yeah,
that's one thing. Another thing when a movie tries to be grounded and becomes ridiculous, that's a different thing.
But I don't think at any point this movie got ridiculous that they didn't already set up in the beginning. The bombs were pretty realistic. The amount of people that he killed felt pretty realistic. And I feel like at the end, the only thing that you could say is really, like, how did that happen? Is Mel Gibson living? But then you just attribute that to Santa magic, like that, because you have to, because he's been alive for hundreds or thousands of years or whatever, and he has flying reindeer and he has elves. Like, you have to say that he can survive a gunshot, okay? Like, we already showed earlier he survived a gunshot. Yeah. Like, he got shot in the side.
Shot in the eye is a little different than the other one, but yeah.
But I'll give you that. If you want to, if you want to say that it's that the movie doesn't set up at any point that it's possible for Santa to get shot in the eye and live, and you want to say that got a little ridiculous at the end, that one part, sure. Yeah. But everything else, it sort of opens with the ridiculous factor in the sense that he is buying presents off of people that were built in Santa's workshop. So it proves that Santa's real in its sort of a ridiculous fashion, because you have this assassin with a ton of expendable income and he's going out of his way to purchase these toys because he's obsessed with it.
Yeah.
But I don't think that level of like being weird or ridiculous is any less ridiculous than the ending. So I feel like they set the tone and they stay consistent throughout. So I'm just going to disagree. It's disjointed, but you B minus B, B, we're just going to give it a B. The minus doesn't really do anything. So it's just because it,
because it never matters what our scores are anyway.
Two Bs and a B minus is a B. Yeah,
that's what I said. It never matters what our scores are anyway. It wouldn't matter what it was. It wouldn't matter if I'd have said F.
If you had said F, we would have had a way more heated argument.
We got this big of an argument from a B minus to a B.
So it's a B. And as always, our Mike and I just arguing with each other about...
For no reason at all.
About movies. Join us next week when we argue about... or join us tomorrow when we argue about Jingle All the Way, starring Arnold Schwarzenegger. And for another exciting night of Eight Crazy Nights of Christmas, as always... We have the oldest elf in the room, Michael number 69, Larson.
Have a good week, everybody. Merry Christmas.
And I'm your ho-ho host, Andy Rice. We've been fried, we've been rice, we've been podcast, and this has been Christmas and 8 days of it. Bye.
It's a fried rice Christmas, and I've invited everyone. Grab a pipe, a bong, a joint, and all have ourselves some fun. It's a fried rice Christmas, and Andy's really high. He's gonna go on a tangent soon. The guys are standing by. It's a fried rice Christmas. Let's all smoke some pot. We love all of our listeners. You all mean a lot. It's a Friday.